Any project with the motive of serving mankind is very likely to have objections, obstructions, delays, diversions, an absence of something needed to continue the pursuit, or a number of any other things which serve to distract and to be a decoy to hide, be very subtle and deceiving about what the real problem is. In other words, the real problem is that there is universal belief to not change what is already in existence. So any wonderful new invention, any new discovery, anything at all that would be a benefit to mankind is likely to have blockage, obstacles, and these other forms of obstructions that would prevent it from being completed, or at the minimum, delay and divert the completion of it. The interesting thing is that whatever does appear to cause a problem is usually in a form where it is not easy to detect the real motive behind the problem. As stated, it's very likely the motive is to prevent progress from taking place, especially if it's going to be of great value to mankind. There are governments, agencies of governments, and perhaps even an entire population or a majority of the population of a given country who has been brainwashed into believing something that is totally false and be convinced that they should object to what was newly discovered or invented. There may be a smear campaign to totally discredit whomever is involved in the venture that would benefit mankind. By a smear campaign, I refer to where total fabrication is created and given to a supposed source of authority, and that source repeats the lie, and then the originator of the lie looks to the source and uses that as the credit for why it is true. And of course, in a real smear campaign, nothing about it is true. That's just one example of a method of distracting or trying to stop a project that could be of great benefit to mankind. All one has to do is let their imagination wander around a little bit, and it's easy to think of a number of things that could be done to distract from the progress on a project of great importance. One very successful people stated recently that the more difficult it is to complete a project because of all these various things that are trying to prevent it from being completed. And the statement in essence was that the more important it is, the more difficult it is to complete it. Not because there wasn't knowledge, or there wasn't experience, or there wasn't funding, or whatever the components were to bring the project to conclusion, it doesn't mean any of that was absent. It is merely referring to what was mentioned just now. The human mind has built-in defenses to prevent it from being changed or improved. And of course, that's all any country, government, project, company, organization, they all are just a group of individuals. So it really boils down to the individual thought, the consciousness of the individual. And so that's what is attacked. The error in the form of various kinds of obstructions, delays, diversions, and whatnot, as stated, they come in forms that are very tricky and not easily recognizable, very subtle. Therefore, if one is involved in a project of major significance that could help mankind, no matter what it is, then it is very wise to do mental research to analyze, to seek under the surface of what the real reason is that there are problems. And as mentioned, these are rarely obvious. What is the solution? Mary Baker Eddy makes it clear. She states it 7 ways from Sunday, the various ways that these problems could appear, but the solution basically boils down to one major concept. That there is only one God, that one God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And because they are incorporeal, there is nothing that is corporeal that is real, because God is the only reality. God is all in all, meaning all source, which includes its manifestation. It's not out there floating around somewhere where there has to be something that connects the manifestation to the source. The source is not a source unless it includes its manifestation. A conductor of an orchestra is not a conductor unless he's conducting. The same with all the musicians that are in the orchestra. If they're not performing, they're not musicians. They're just a thought tucked away in the closet somewhere. God is omni-action, which means that the only action that can exist is the action of God, and that is assigned to the office of mind. Again, this mind is incorporeal. It's not a brain sitting up above the neck somewhere in a, you know, in a form that's called a head. And the communication from God to man doesn't pass through something that is made out of matter. Mary Baker Eddy makes plain, and so have physicists that have been tops in their field have discovered that there is no light, truth, or intelligence in matter or in anything else except spirit and mind and soul and principle and life and truth and love. It's all in the qualities of God. And of course, the primary one that she refers to is mind. She says all is infinite mind. And she also states that there can be no mortal mind because mind is immortal. And she calls it an oxymoron. So, a good place to begin unblocking, dissolving any obstruction to progress, no matter what form it may take, is to strive to improve one's understanding about what mind is. And that mind communicates directly to its manifestation because it's innate in the manifestation. The manifestation is only there because it is an image of the source. So it doesn't depend on a set of so-called material organs such as nerves or brain or anything else that is outside of spirit. And spirit, of course, is the counterfact to matter. Just as immortal mind is the counterfact to the belief of mortal mind. There cannot be both a mortal mind and an immortal mind, and there cannot be both spirit and matter. So one must choose what they are going to believe as being real. What does one want to believe? Does one want to be in the dance of mortal mind? Does one want to be encased in all the beliefs about matter? Because if so, in fact, if one wants to be encased in just one belief about matter, it opens them up to all the beliefs about matter. And the same with mortal mind. One is subject to all the beliefs of mortal mind. And of course, this enables the belief of mortal mind to expand. For it can be nothing and go nowhere without support from an outside source. So if there is a willing thought that says, come on in, no problem. Here, I'll open the door for you. Can offer you a cold drink, assuming it's a hot day. Or anything else can I give you? Here, borrow my consciousness. You know, check it out. Search all around in there. Make deposits of whatever you want. You know, deposit this lie or that lie or whatever. No problem. Plenty of room in there for whatever you want to put. Whatever you want to leave there, just leave it. Now, one of the problems with this is it's like the movies where they show someone selling their soul to the devil. Once you're in that trap, it is a dickens to get out of it. It is a whole lot easier to face it at the onset of the suggestion than it is to deal with it any time thereafter. Because it's already in the door. It's already permeated thought. You're accepting it as yours. Natural. This is part of your nature. This is an angel thought. The thing about error in matter, mortal mind, anything unlike God, is that they feed on each other. The rule of compounding applies to lies, evil, unrealities, matter, mortal mind, etc. You name it, and it's included if it's unlike God. So it's just like the Bible says, where it states precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's the rule of compounding. So if we're going to let the belief in life, truth, intelligence, or substance and matter, or the belief that there's a mortal mind that supposedly creates the matter, whereby mortal mind is considered the subjective and matter is considered the objective, wherever these things appear in belief, in consciousness, in one's thoughts, they will be accompanied by an ever-expanding group of other similar type things. In other words, ungodlike things that require acceptance in order for them to get to first base. And in fact, what some of these devious tactics include in the smear campaign is to somehow try to utilize a drug that reduces or removes the inhibitions of an individual with character, but a borderline character, one that does not have strong defenses or strong convictions to resist liquids and so forth that are deemed to be pleasurable, you know, alcohol and whatnot, or tobacco, things that have chemicals in them that are for the purpose of forming an addiction. So once one says, okay, I'll just try it, that opens the door. Well, the same is true of any little thought that is interfering with the project that one is pursuing to conclude. In the study of how to be successful, utilizing the various techniques of people that have been successful and shared their thoughts about how they gained their success, time management is a very important thing. And as a matter of fact, Mary Baker Eddy makes a very strong statement about that, about time being lost and how important it is for us to value every moment. Because once it's lost, it cannot be made up. We have a one-time chance to utilize any particular moment. And a moment is defined as being the smallest measurement of time. So it's an individual decision on how we are going to use our moments. And Mary Baker Eddy states that the fastest way to progress in Christian Science is to study the letter and imbibe the spirit. So that covers exactly what we're talking about here. We have to make sure we know what we are doing in the project. Are we expressing spiritual qualities in every phase of what we're doing? Or do we have another goal in mind that is nefarious? Maybe we think we are going to benefit mankind, but our real purpose is that we think there's going to be a lot of money made, or we're going to be able to control a lot of people, or whatever it might be. We have to just make sure the motive is absolutely reflecting spirit, which is flawless, pureness. And imbibing the Spirit means that we need to be expressing those qualities both mentally and physically. The qualities of God. The incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Are we expressing the intelligence, wisdom, and the knowing of mind? Are we being active, expressing the omni-action, which is the only way we can have power in what we are doing? As Mary Baker Eddy states, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And spirit, I already mentioned, that's being pure. It's pureness, transparency. We're not trying to conceal or hide anything. And soul is spiritual sense, because spirit is the only substance. So every sense has to be spiritual. So whether we are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, or smelling, all of the senses that we utilize moment by moment every day, are we doing it from a spiritual standpoint? And principle is system and structure. Do we have a structure with what we are doing? Or is it like a messy closet? Are we keeping our thought structured as well as our physical activities? And life, are we expressing all of the qualities of God in all of the activities that we are doing? And are we following the path of truth, or are we deviating from it? And of course, that includes motive. It's our entire consciousness is what truth is. And of course, what we really should be doing is getting self out of the way and letting the Christ consciousness be the only consciousness. That certainly is going to keep the motive pure, and it's going to be making sure the pursuit is on the correct path. And of course, love is expressing all of the categories of tenderness, kindness, gentleness, thoughtfulness, tolerance, forgiveness, all these kinds of things that Jesus expressed. And as Mary Baker Eddy stated, the magnitude of his humanity is what enabled his divinity. So Jesus was able to get to that point where the human met the divine by magnifying everything he did on a human level that was with the goal and the pursuit of the divine level. So in a project, no matter what it is, if it has a wholesome goal, we have to make sure that we are following these kind of lines of thinking as we are working away moment by moment. McNeil Young stated that people would come to him to solve a business problem, and they wouldn't know their business. They expected miracles. He pointed out the importance of knowing your business, knowing what you're doing. If all of these kinds of steps are followed, and this is only some suggestions that come to thought here on an extemporaneous basis, but if this line of thinking is followed with action, and there are major problems in going forward, then very likely it is a matter of universal belief, which is trying to prevent the good from coming about. Wentworth Winslow has written 3 articles on malpractice. Each one of the 3 are in one of his 4 books, which are entitled Let God Do It, God Will Do It, God Can Do It, and God Is Doing It. And Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of dealing with mental malpractice. Psyops is a common word these days, and it basically means psychological operation. In other words, someone is trying, or a group of people, or a universal belief, is trying to make an impact to stop progress. It may not even be on a specific thing that you are involved in, but just the general belief of stopping progress could be affecting what you are involved in. Getting back to mind and spirit, Mary Baker Eddy states clearly that, assuming all of these other things are in order that have been discussed, that the number one cause is probably a belief of more than one mind. So one has to get clear in their own thought that the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, which is of the substance of spirit, is the only mind that can impact the project one is working on. And that mind is omni-intelligent, omni-wise, and omni-knowing. And so the only activities that could be taking place on the project are intelligent, wise, and knowing activities. And by knowing, I mean knowing the truth that spirit is supreme, and matter and all of the various other names that are used for describing something that is not spiritual, that all of these other things cannot have any impact on a project that is for the purpose of furthering mankind, benefiting mankind. I know of instances where computers wouldn't start up, and the individual that was in charge of the computers would try everything in the book to solve the problem. Or I know of a situation where telephones all of a sudden would stop operating. The internet would go out, wherein the internet was needed in the work that was being done. You name it, and it could be one of the events that enters into the picture, and one would think that it was related to the symptom, when in fact it had nothing to do with what the symptom was indicating was the problem. One must adhere to what Mary Baker Eddy states when she indicates that the one mind must be understood, declared as being the only mind, that mind being the only power, and of course power is just a measurement of action. So there can only be one action, and that action is an intelligent, wise, and knowing action. In order for there to be only one action, it has to be omnipresent. There cannot be any other action going on. Otherwise, there could be no omni-action. And if there is not an omni-action under the control of just one mind, and that one being incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, then we would have chaos everywhere, all the time. Because then everything would be on a material basis, and there would be no harmony that is consistent period. And if we don't have consistent harmony, there cannot be progress. There cannot be the compounding of good. There cannot be the precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. There would be chaos upon chaos, nothing here and nothing there, nothing little or big, ever. The common procedure is to go to God last. The intelligent procedure is to go to God first and only. I mean, sure, if you don't have power on a computer or a machine of some kind, you will first of all want to just make sure that it's plugged in. You know, simple things like that. But as far as doing thorough research, thorough troubleshooting, one's time is better utilized by troubleshooting within one's own thought, within consciousness. Those articles on malpractice that was mentioned earlier, in a simple sentence, one could say, after reading them, that malpractice means bad practice. And so the solution is converting bad practice to good practice. And of course, malpractice is mental, so that means our mental thoughts must be constructive based on a spiritual foundation and not matter-based. Not thinking about the devious things of mortal mind that Jesus was tempted with after spending 40 days in the desert. You know, where the devil, the story about the devil tempting him, having him look out over this expanse of territory and saying, you can have all this. Or, jump off the cliff. God will save you. Or here, eat this food. You've gone 40 days and 40 nights without any food. You must be hungry. With every single human temptation, the response by Christ Jesus, whom Mary Baker Eddy deemed to be the master metaphysician, was a quotation from Scripture, which was the antithesis, the total dissolution of the suggestion made by so-called mortal mind, otherwise called the devil. Mary Baker Eddy followed this same procedure. She did not argue with the mortal mind, but she stated the truth, which was the counterfact to the mortal belief that was being presented as a suggestion. Does one think that if one were driving a vehicle, that he would just consciously close his eyes and say, God will take care of me? There is a principle in every single activity, if it is a wholesome activity. And as stated previously about the comment from Bicknell Young, who said you must know your business. If you're going to drive a vehicle, you need to know the principles of driving that vehicle. Whatever activity you're involved in, you need to know the principles. You can't be a novice at music and think you can get into an orchestra and pray to God that you can perform perfectly. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus is what enabled his divinity. This is whereby the human thought is shed step by step until one's consciousness is elevated to the Christ consciousness, which is where the divine is. So the human meets the divine only in the degree to which the human is given up to make place for the divine and to be ready to accept the divine. Recognizing that there is no future in the human, and you've tried everything, and you can see that at best there is only momentary success, and so you're ready to walk away from it. You're ready to elevate thought to the divine. And it can't be done prematurely, as Peter tried to do when he tried to walk on the water. So we cannot think that we can give up a so-called material activity until we're ready to advance to a higher level. In the article on vision by Mary Baker Eddy, it was to one of her students. It was one that was having a problem with vision, as the title indicates. And Mary Baker Eddy said, "You took off your glasses instead of wearing them and losing your faith in them." So the individual wasn't ready to put the glasses aside because the individual continued to have faith in the glasses. So when we lose faith in a so-called material remedy, that's when we are ready to put it aside, which means we have gained a more clear understanding of spirit. As being the one and only substance. This has been an extemporaneous recording, letting the thoughts flow as they may, so it's not intended to be a complete prepared presentation, but merely stating thoughts as they occur. Interference has been the primary theme of these thoughts. And this can be applied to a project, one's life, a relationship, an event. Hopefully the ideas are totally truth and therefore are applicable to everything. This is the end of this recording.